You know, this is just starting day of Thanksgiving week, right? But you know, Christians should always be thankful. And I'm telling you this too, that lost persons should ought to be thankful also. We've all got something to be thankful for. Amen. So what I'm going to do today is try to sing this song, "Thank You, Lord, for Your Blessings on Me." Think about how good God's been to us. Ain't God good? Sure He is. So let's just praise the Lord this morning. I mean, you know, He's given us this opportunity to praise Him and serve Him and worship Him in spirit and in truth. I went to, can't even think of the name of it now, Holiday Village, Tuesday of this past week, and had a great time. Some of those people got happy, I did too, and we just had a good time. And one of the ladies that goes to Riverview had been promising me, she lives there now, she'd been promising me she was coming, so she came Tuesday morning, and she told me that I got in the spirit. I don't know how she knew that, but I reckon it showed all over me. And that's what I like, just let the Lord bless us and His glory shine through us. And that's what we ought to do. So let me try to sing this for you and let you see. You already know the song, and if you want to sing along with me, that's fine. I need all the help I can get. And just help me out this morning. But it, you know, it shows us, if we'll think about it, how much God does for us, okay? As the world looks up, that ain't right. I had it right up in my car. As the world looks upon me, as I struggle along, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank You, Lord, for Your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me a love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank You, Lord, for Your blessings on me. I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have You. And to me, that all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank You, Lord, for Your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to stay. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me Your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank You, Lord, for Your blessing on me. Thank You, Lord, for Your blessings on me. Amen. You going to sing any more, congregation? Hey, okay. Well, Shelby took the clock down, so I'm going to put the watch up here and tell you exactly what that means. Absolutely nothing. I look at it just once in a while, just to, you know, so I won't go to 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock.
Well, when you get through preaching, just read so, right over and
over. We had lunch here last week, and it sure was a blessing. I appreciate it, and me and my wife enjoyed it very much, and I appreciate it very much. And if you want to do it every Sunday that I come, that'll be fine also. I'll take it. I'll enjoy it again. Amen. And I'm not pleading with you. I'm just giving you a thought. Amen. You like to eat too, don't you? Sure you do. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews this morning. Great book for us. And I want to share something with you. I told somebody, I forgot who it was, that, you know, when I come, I may preach the same message I preached sometime before. And if I do, just look, just listen to it, because it's God's Word, and if it's God's Word, it's worth listening to more than one time. And I realize that most church people, they and anybody else that comes along, they listen, and I appreciate you listening. And they also don't remember the next Sunday if you preach the same message, because most of the time it comes out different anyway, doesn't it? So I know the Lord's blessed me, and I appreciate it very much. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I know that I know that I know that I know I'm going to heaven when this life is over. And I hope that all of you feel the same and know the same. See, God always supplies needs, don't he? Amen. All right. In Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to start reading with verse 32. And I'm going to quote the first verse. The Bible says in verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." And I'm thinking, as I read these verses of Scripture, in verse 32 down through verse 40, which is the last few verses in Hebrews chapter 11, I'd love to be able to take the whole chapter and preach on it this morning, but for the time's sake, I'm just going to say 32 to 40. Then I'll refer to some of these up in front of them. Verse 32, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak." Did you know former president was in the Bible? Barak. Wasn't that his first name? Barack Obama. All right, it says here, "And of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets." Now you learned something this morning already, haven't you? Former president, his name's in God's Word. All right, let's go on. "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured and not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Father, we thank you for the reading of God's word. We thank you, Lord, for being able to be here today, Lord. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll just bless in a special way. Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll preach through me. Lord, as I stand here behind this sacred desk, I pray, Lord, that you'll preach through me, Lord, that it can help someone else, Lord. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll bless me. Thank you for everything you do for me. Lord, you've been so good to me. You love me. You care for me. And no one ever cared for me like Jesus. And we're so thankful for you, Lord. Thank you for everything that you do in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. As you think about the what we just read, we see that it goes back and it talks about, or it thinks about, puts out to us the thoughts of some of the men of God that had to go through some trials and some tribulations in this world. And I'm going to be talking about that in just a minute, but I think about this verse of the scripture, and I think about a song that has something that happened one time that this preacher was fixing to sing a song that the song director had announced that they were going to sing. And the song was this: have faith in God. Now, I'm talking about faith this morning more than anything else. When somebody, in other words, when faith seems to fail, what do we do? All right? So as he was listening to this song, he was thinking about, he noticed something that had taken a pen. Someone had taken a pen and he had rearranged a word in the second verse of that song. And the verse was written as follows. It says, have faith in God when prayers are unanswered. Your earnest plea, he will never forget. Wait on the Lord. Trust his word. Have faith in God. He'll answer yet. The pastor said somebody had written this. Have faith in God when prayers seem unanswered. He changed the word "are," in other words, to seem. And sometimes we pray and it does not seem that the Lord has heard our prayers, does it not? You see, we pray for certain things to happen. And sometimes they're in reverse when it seems that our prayers are unanswered. And does that mean that faith has failed? Absolutely not. Faith has not failed. Faith is something that will stand throughout eternity. Thank God that we have the faith. We take these things for granted. We come in here, and every one of us, I'm guarantee you, and I didn't see most of you when you come in, but I guarantee you when you come in that you didn't check that pew and feel and see if it would hold you up, did you? Absolutely not. That was a little bit of faith, wasn't it? You get in your car here after a while and you won't think nothing about turning the key on and cranking your car up and that car cranks, do you? That's faith. A whole lot of things I could say that would show you about faith. Now, as we look at these things this morning, we see that the 11th chapter of Hebrews is known by the faith chapter, or the Heroes of Faith chapter. Now, when it seems that the writer gives a roll call of those men and women of the Bible who by faith walk with God. Now, as you read these verses of Scripture, you'll see it says, by faith, through faith. Surely we have to go through faith also. We have to go by faith. I tell you, it's a whole lot of people today that don't have enough faith to believe any farther than their face, any farther than their nose. They think a little bit, but they can't go out farther by faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is going to bless in this service. In fact, He's already showed me that he's blessing them. Praise the Lord that we're able to be in God's house to worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's what he says we ought to be doing on Sunday morning, at least on Sunday night. We need to. We need Wednesday night. We need to. I realize that we can't come all the time, but when we can come, we ought to come and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. That's what he saved us for. Not only did he save us for that, but he also saved us that we might go out and witness to a lost and dying world. And if we go out and witness to a lost and dying world, it just don't simply mean that we go out there and say, are you saved? We go out there and show them that there's something in Jesus, and it's about Jesus, that they need to be saved. And it's through our life that we worship, as we worship him and serve him, it's through our life that it shows that we've been born again, and these people that's not saved, we can be a witness to them by our life. But not only by our life, and I'm going to get a little bit old-fashioned a little bit, by our dress. It shows up in them. By our language. We can't go out here in a lost and dying world. We can't even do it in church either. I'd be afraid to say it in church if I wasn't afraid to say it outside. But I'm here to tell you, I don't want to say it anytime. And that is cursing and saying bad things about our different people and gossiping. And I know that, you know, we once in a while gossip a little bit, don't we? We talk about somebody, and sometimes we don't really mean anything that we say. But it gets us in trouble sometimes too, doesn't it? Sure it does. I'm just being honest. It's me too. Amen? But you see, we need to have faith in God. Here it is, the roll call, the men and women of the Bible. He starts with Abel. He ends with Samuel and the prophets. And the rest of the chapter deals with that kind of faith that these saints had put them through all kinds of torment. Now, I know people today in certain times are going through some torment. My brother Donnie today, he's sick and he's not feeling good. And I know that he's in pain, no doubt. Listen, my friend, we go through those things, yes. But it's one day, Jesus Christ is going to split the eastern skies. He's going to call us home. And all the pain, the heartaches, troubles, and everything else is going to be done away with. Thank God for that. Amen. All right, I want to mention here, that's my introduction, okay? I'm going to give you two messages in one if you want to say that. But both of them is about faith. I want to mention three things about this faith and trust in God that God will use it for his glory and for his honor. That's what I want. God to use what I say, and I say it through him. He can use it for his honor and his glory. That's my concern when I stand behind the pulpit. Yes, I'm concerned about lost people. Yes. But I'm also concerned about people that are already saved. There's so many that say that they're saved, and sometimes it makes you wonder how they live, how they talk, how they dress. Amen? Sure it does. You see, first of all this morning, I want to show you the exciting victories of faith. Exciting victories of faith. Have you ever had exciting victories of faith? I'm sure you have. I have too, and I want to share this with you today. All right, look in verse 33. We'll go back and read it again. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouth of lions. I believe that it was talking about there when the Daniel, he was a praying man. He prayed every morning, noon, and night, and probably all between the two when it could. He would get in the window so the king could see him praying. And so he didn't mind anybody knowing that he prayed. But see, there was a rule in that day that the king, if he saw you praying, then he'd take care of it. What did he do to Daniel? He had him thrown in a den of lions, didn't he? I hear people say lion's den, but if it was a lion's den, it could have been that there wasn't any lions in the lion's den. Am I right? So I like to say den of lions. That makes it a little bit more exciting. A man in the den of lions. But I believe, and this is just my thought, I may be totally wrong, but I do know that the Bible backs me up on this, that he slept all night long and those lions didn't bother him. And that had to be God, didn't it? Because lions, if you disturb them, they don't like it too much. I don't want to be around a disturbed lion. In fact, I don't like to be around a lion that's tame. Because I believe sometimes they'll turn on you. That's just my belief, and that's just what I think and I've heard before. But you see, he was in the den of lions, and my little thought was this, that he lay down and used one of the lions for a pillow and used one of his lions for his feet. He stretched out and probably had one there right beside him. Or maybe more than one, I don't know. But you think about it. The Bible says he rested and slept all night long. The king come up afterwards. The king come up and he said, he looked down in there. Did I not throw one man in there? Look, there's a man likened to the Son of God walking around down there with Daniel. I'm here to tell you, it was the Son of God. It didn't just look like the Son of God. It was the Son of God there with Daniel. Now, Daniel had faith. He believed that God, even though that he may have been done wrong there when he thought about the rules of the land, he still had faith that God was going to take care of it. So you look at this and said, it's exciting to me to read about Daniel in the den of lions and how God protected him. Imagine that. I think about God protecting me a whole lot of times when I'm driving. One time, I was coming from Roxburgh. Most of you know that I'm from Roxburgh, and down there I see some of my family. I was coming back home, and I got so sleepy that I dozed off while I was driving now. I woke up. I was on the wrong side of the road, and I looked a little ahead of it. There was a gas truck coming right at me. I know God woke me up. You think about it. Some of you might say, "Well, you were in the right place." Yeah, I was. I was in God's hands. Glory. That's just one of my things I could tell you. There's others that God has protected me on the road. Now, I might have a wreck going home, and I hope I don't. And I hope y'all have prayed that I don't. But I am a bad driver sometimes.
We all are.
I have a backseat driver sometimes too, riding with me, that sits in the front seat. You can tell her if you want to. She knows it. She's my backseat driver, but she helps me out a whole lot. Get on your side of the road. I know that sounds like a little bit of humor. That's what happens. I'm telling you the truth this morning. There's a story of Moses when he faced the Red Sea. What happened there? God told him, lift out his hand. And he did. What happened? The sea rolled back, didn't it? That water, and they walked over on dry land. I think about this little story, probably a little humor to it, but that's the way some people are. This young man was in college, and he was sitting on a stupid door there, in front of the door, reading about that. And he started laughing. Fella come by and says, hey, what you laughing about? He said, about Moses and walking across on dry land, no water there. The fella says, well, I don't believe it that way. I believe that there was just a little bit of water in about half a foot or so, and they walked across on that. You see, people look at things differently, don't they? Well, let's look at it within the right aspect. They went across on dry land, God said. And when they say dry land, I think it's dry land, just like this right here. This is not land, nor is it water either, but it is dry land. There wasn't no, I don't even believe it was in the after effect. It was dry land. You know why? God done it. All right, let's go on. The three Hebrew children. They faced with the fiery furnace. What happened there? Same thing. God protected them in that fire. They came out, what clothes they had on was not even smut on. They didn't have any hair singed. God took care of it by faith. By faith and through faith. All right, David and Goliath. You know that story, don't you? How he took that stone and put the giant down. That's an exciting story to me. A little bit of fellow about this height. He picked up some stones, and I don't really know how many he picked up. Did the Bible say? I don't think it did. But I think, this is my thought, I believe he picked up five stones. You know what five represents in the Bible, don't you? Grace. He had grace. We have grace today. By grace through faith of the Lord Jesus Christ are we saved. Faith and grace. But he had grace. He put them in his little bag, pulled one out. And I believe when he put it in his slingshot, I believe he went around three times. One, two, three, and let it go. One, for God the Father. Two, for Jesus Christ the Son. Three, for the Holy Ghost. Believe what you want to, but I get excited when I believe like this. It's God the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. It put the giant down. All right, all of us that have loved the Lord, lived for the Lord, walked with the Lord, trusted the Lord, could give testimony of some exciting victory or some exciting victories of faith. Now, something that God has done for us, something that can't be explained except by the miracle working power of God. It's been done, has it not? All right, that's number one. Number two is this. Enduring virtues of faith. In verse 35, we'll go read that now. It said, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. And others were tortured. That doesn't sound like an excitement of victory to me, does it, you? I don't want to see anybody tortured. Look in verse 39. You'll see. What does it say? And these all having obtained a good report through faith received not the promise. Now, all of these people, God could say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And he also said, enter into the joys of this land. That's probably my words. It may be a little different than God's word. I don't know. But it doesn't change the meaning. All right? All of these people say that. And all of these were trusting the Lord too, but it didn't work out for them like it worked out for the others. You see, we read in the Bible and we see what happened to some of the great heroes of faith. We read history books and see the suffering of those who walk with God. Some stoned to death. Some burned at the stake. Some killed with the sword. Can you imagine all that? And all of these Christians love the Lord as much as you love the Lord and much as I love the Lord. They love the Lord also. They love the more than you. And I that love the Lord. They didn't obtain deliverance. You see, there was no angel to come and lead them out of prison. There was no one to walk with them through the fire furnace. And we need to mark it down that things don't always work out just like we think it should. Think about that. In John chapter 11, 5, it says, now Jesus loved Lazarus. And surely we know that Jesus loved Lazarus. The Bible tells us that very much so. No ifs, no buts about it. Yet, in John chapter 11, verse 14, the Bible says Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. Now, Jesus had the ability to keep Lazarus alive, didn't he? Mary Morris said, Master, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, it was a rebuke, I believe, to Jesus as if he didn't care or wasn't able. But he did care and he was able. But still did not keep Lazarus from dying. There's a whole lot of people dying, aren't there? Everywhere I turn, there's somebody. Well, so-and-so passed away yesterday. So-and-so passed away the day before yesterday. Passed away. A lot of people are dying. Faith is not so much receiving things from God. Christians don't always have things the way they want them. Difficulty does not mean that God has abandoned us. As it is accepting from God the things that God sends, is what faith is. We've not seen it yet, but we believe in it. Does that make a difference? Sure it does. Now, number three is this. Eternal vindication of faith in verse 39 and verse 40. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now in these last two verses, we see that it was not that their faith failed, their faith worked. And the things they trusted God for, they really trusted God for it, and they got it. But God did it in His own time and in His own schedule. He does that for us, doesn't He? In His own time and in His own schedule. Sometimes we pray for our loved ones to get well, don't we? But instead of getting well, they pass away. And we say, well, you know, He didn't answer our prayer. We didn't think He didn't, but He did. If we only think about it for a few minutes, they are far more well off than we are ever was here. If they're saved. If they know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're much better off than we are. You know, sometimes I think about it, I get a little jealous. They ain't in heaven before I did. You see, no, it's a holding place there. No. What did the Bible say? Absent from the body is present with the Lord, right? So they were with Him. I think about something else, and I'm going to tell you this. I am not a victim. I'm a victor in Jesus Christ. I always think about that. We think about it, you know, when things go wrong, you know, we're a victim of something. No, we're not. We're a victor in Jesus. Because we've been born again by God's marvelous grace. And if you haven't, then you need to be. This in verse 39, it says, receive not the promise, but they will. In Psalms 85, and I don't know why I think about this. Will thou not revive us again, that thy people might rejoice in thee? I think that's Psalms 80, verse 6. But friends, I'm closing with this. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. And I said that more and more times than one, and I know that, realize that. But let me say to you today, when I say that, I really mean it, because I know who He is. I know who He is. He's the great I Am. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the beautiful rose of Sharon. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He said, He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's my Savior. He's my best friend that I ever had. He's Emmanuel. He's Jesus. He's my everything. He's the Prince of Peace. And most of all, He's my coming King. And He's coming. Very soon, He's coming. You say, well, I've heard that all my life. Well, you stay around me much longer, you're going to hear me say it again. And I believe it. He's coming again. Amen. And very soon. You see, when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, you're not going to be able to hide Him. Absolutely not. And you know what? I'd rather have Jesus than anything. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than whatever the world holds. He's my everything, my friends. There's nothing that this world has to offer. But Jesus has everything to offer. Now, let's have faith more and more. Let's have great faith, in other words. Let's have great faith. You say, well, you know, sometimes my faith gets weak. Sure. But you know why it gets weak? It's not God's fault, is it? Absolutely not. It's ours. We don't study God's word like we ought to. And I'll just tell you, I don't either. You know, there's times that we should be studying God's word and we're doing something else. But I like to try to study it at least twice a day. And that's my want to. That's my desire. I love to tell the story of Jesus and his love. He loves you this morning. Cares for you. And let's believe, no one ever seen Jesus. None of us have ever seen Jesus with a natural eye, have we? But we can see him through an eye of faith. When I say see him, get close to him. Thank you for letting me be here this morning. I pray that you have got something from God's word. Father, I pray, Heavenly Father, that as we sing an invitation song, Lord, I pray that you'd have your right of way in each heart and each life. As I look around today, Lord, I don't see anybody that doesn't claim to be saved, as far as I know. But Lord, if there is one, they need to get saved. And Lord, for every Christian, we need a closer walk with you. And Lord, I pray that you'll give us that faith to believe that you can. That you can. It's not a cannot with you, and I know that. It's a can. And thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen.